Hey, wedding friends, it's Heather, and this week we are dropping another episode that highlights some content from the Wedding Hacker Expo. Now, we chose to highlight this session from Elle Martinez of Couple Money because I think most people are dealing with some sort of financial stress right now. Even if your life hasn't been specifically impacted by COVID-19, it definitely hasn't made managing your finances easier. And whether that's in your business or in your personal life, having these tough financial conversations is key to keeping everything on the right path. So that's why we wanted to highlight this, I think, exceptionally helpful session from the Wedding Hacker Expo with, again, Elle Martinez from Couple Money. So what we're going to talk about with Elle, if you are not familiar with her, she's the creator and award-winning blogger of Couple Money. It's a personal finance site and podcast. Her podcast actually has over 25,000 people listening to it each month. And she also is an author of a book called Jumpstart Your Marriage and Your Money. So she's got a pretty good grip on all this, and I think is someone you guys are going to enjoy listening to and learning from. In this episode, she's going to talk about a specific habit that you can set up with your partner, whether this is a business partner or your life partner, to develop some good habits and open communication about money. And really starting there, making a judgment-free zone about money. And that way you can build towards the future you want together. So I hope you all enjoy, sit back, and soak up all this wisdom from the expo. And again, if you're listening and you haven't signed up as a Wedding Hacker Expo affiliate yet, you still can do that over at weddinghackerexpo.com. All the way at the bottom, click on affiliate, sign up, and you can join us in promoting the event and sharing this super helpful information with your community and, you know, giving people some helpful knowledge to not only have an amazing wedding, but an amazing marriage. So I hope you do that and join us in being partners. We would absolutely love it. So let's dive on in with Elle. I hope you all enjoy.
We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now, here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
You guys, I'm so excited to introduce you to Elle. She is amazing and really has so much information here to talk about finances and communicating around that. Welcome.
I'm excited about this. This is a near and dear topic to me. I really want couples to succeed, not just with the wedding day, but with their marriage.
Absolutely. I think so many times couples get caught up in the excitement and the thrill of the wedding, and they forget, like, this is the foundation for your marriage, which is ultimately far more important. So I'd love to just jump in with some actionable steps that you'd recommend to jumpstart the marriage and money for these couples who are about to embark on this new phase of their life.
Yeah. So first of all, I think what's important is changing the way we approach finances. I think typically with a lot of couples, even us, when we were first engaged and getting married, we saw like money as this kind of, it was a source of stress for us. And I think a lot of couples, you want to jump into the numbers, either, you know, for your wedding budget or, you know, you're thinking beyond. But really, I think the first step is to see money as a tool to build a life that the two of you really love. And so my first actionable step is to sit down, have a date, and talk about what kind of life do you guys want to build within the next year. I know if you're planning a wedding, you also want to look at the year beyond that, and then the next 5 years and so on, and just kind of have a roadmap. Too many times I've, you know, talked to couples, they'll call me and they'll say, you know, we're struggling with these goals. And I ask them what their goals are. And what I've noticed, Heather, is they're not bad goals, but they're very vague. They'll say, okay, well, we're saving up for emergencies. We're trying to pay down debt, you know, and down the line, we want to buy a house. And there's it's almost like a checklist that they feel they have to go through. And I think you're really missing an opportunity. And it's the same thing with your wedding. It's, oh, we have to, you know, have X amount of guests or has to be at this location. And it almost becomes like a chore versus something that you really want to enjoy. And so whether it's your wedding or the years beyond your wedding, really sit down and define what's important to you, because especially with your wedding day, I think every couple of you ask them, no matter, you know, what location they pick out or venue they want to use, is they want something that's memorable and they want something that's meaningful to them. Mm-hmm. And that shouldn't stop at your wedding day. It should genuinely be how you approach, what are we going to do for our next steps? You know, this is our special day and this is launching, you know, the first day of our lives together. What are we excited about? Do we want to, you know, are we going to be the couple that travels? Are we going to be, you know, a couple that wants to buy a house, maybe start a family, start a business? Like, just get an idea of what excites the two of you. And then you can work backwards from there and see, okay, what do we need to do for our finances? Or what does our budget need to look like? Because it will look different based on what your goals and your personalities and what you value. So I think that's the first thing with your wedding and then beyond your wedding, what is meaningful and most important to you, and just nailing that down as a couple.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I have been married for about 10 years now, and my
congratulations.
Thanks. And I have a husband who's also an entrepreneur. So we have a very different lifestyle. Like, some people would not be into this. It's a little bit crazy sometimes, but we have the flexibility on the travel side with our time during the day, things like that, that are trade-offs that for us are what we envision as a great life. And I think if we weren't on the same page or envisioning those goals together, it would make it a lot harder to plan our finances as well as just build towards this life we love. And absolutely, first step. And you mentioned the money dates. Can you expand on that a little bit and kind of give us more on that concept?
Oh, I love money dates. So on my podcast, I've interviewed, like, you know, financial experts and real life couples who've done some incredible things, Heather. They've paid down, some of them paid down $100,000 of debt or more. I've had them start businesses where they're traveling, sometimes with kids, or they've saved up for a dream that they wanted. And I had a couple actually retire early. I'm talking about in their 30s with kids.
Wow.
And yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, so how do you do it? And when I was pulling apart certain things, like certain habits, of course, every couple is different. There were things that kept popping up, and this was one of them. They may have called it budget parties or something else, but these ideas of money dates was like a huge habit for them. And the reason was, it sounds a little weird, but these are actual dates. And the idea is that, again, you are trying to define the life that you want, and you're checking in with each other. I think sometimes we get into problems, not just with finances, but a relationship, because we don't have these regular check-ins. And we have two kids and I'm an entrepreneur. My husband works 9 to 5 over as a software developer. So like, our lives are full, and it's so easy if we don't schedule time to like have a month or two go by where we're not really like talking about the big stuff, the stuff that matters to us. So with money dates, these are great ways and fun ways to check in. And yes, we do talk about the finances, but it's always in the context of what matters to you. The point of it is to get closer as a couple. And, you know, sometimes things happen. Sometimes we do overspend or there's a small mistake. When you do something like a monthly money date, it's so much easier to fix and adjust things. Mm-hmm. Because if you wait too long and you're just thinking, okay, well, it's been 6 months, that small mistake suddenly got bigger and suddenly your stress level has gone up. Like, if you're spending a little bit more on the credit card than you plan to, you know, 1 month, you can usually get back on track like that. But then if you're not talking about it, it can be a huge problem with your wedding and also with your marriage. So I go a little bit deeper with my book, Jumpstart Your Marriage and Your Money, how you actually can do those first money dates, because it's usually for most couples a new thing. Yeah, but I kind of want to go over. Yeah.
Uncomfortable, you know, like that's hard to talk about. And people have a lot of baggage and emotional ties to how they feel about money. Maybe they had
difficulty in their childhood of what they saw modeled. So yeah, can you go into maybe a little bit of that of like, what do you talk about on those first money dates and kind of get warmed up to this whole process?
Yeah. So this is one of those big surprises that people have because they think, okay, well, obviously if you wrote this book, you're going to say the first money date, you're going to go over the numbers. I actually say your first money date, do not bring out the spreadsheet. If one of you is the money nerd, do not bring that out. You're not allowed to. Put a okay. pin on that. Put it away. And you're going to start off with, again, let's come up with a blueprint. And I give an example. A lot of people get intimidated with money, but I say, think about it as planning your epic bucket list once in a lifetime trip. How does that usually go? Well, the first thing you do is like, where are we going to go? What's the destination? Is it going to be one stop or are we going to travel through Europe, Asia, however it looks to you? And then when you have a destination that you're working towards, then you work backwards and you're like, okay, do we need the flights? Do we need to get train tickets? Are we going to do, you know, the Airbnb route? Are we going to go hotels, luxury, casual? When you define, and you're excited about this, Heather, I think like too many times couples are like, oh, I want to get debt free. Put a pin on that. Debt free is great. But what does that mean? Like, why do you want to get debt free? Let's just take that because I think that's a great goal. Do you want to get debt free, especially, you know, as an entrepreneur, so you have that freedom and flexibility that you can experiment, can pivot with your career, try something new? Or are you looking to get debt free because you guys want to travel? Like, this is something that's very important to you. When you define why it's important, then you can talk about, okay, well, to get there, it would be best if we dump the credit card debt, the car loans, and if we can get the student loans to a manageable level.
Mm-hmm. So that makes sense.
So the first date is just get excited about that. Usually when I talk to couples, I'll be honest, one spouse is usually like, oh, I want to nail this down because I want to get my finances. And the other one's like, they're reluctant. At best, they're kind of dragging their feet. At worst, they're just resistant, whether they say it out loud or not. So first get them excited. This is the whole idea of these money dates, is getting on the same page. So your first money date is about that. The second one is, okay, we now know what we want to do. We're really excited about this. You know, we want to be able to travel twice a year, like spend a month somewhere, like really travel. Okay, well, where are we now? And people get scared. They're like, oh my goodness, this means I have to like pull out all the accounts. But the good news is there are a lot of free apps that you can use, like, you know, Personal Capital, Mint, or two that come to mind, where it pulls the numbers for you and you guys can get a quick and easy picture of where you are now. And I will say about 80% of the couples are surprised to find out it's not as bad as they feared it is. You know, I used to, when we got engaged, I'll just give you a quick story. I didn't know how bad or how different we were with finances, but we thought, okay, we're going to share the numbers. And I was the one with debt, but I couldn't even tell you how much debt I was in. And I was so scared about it because I thought, oh no, it's going to be this huge number. So in the back of my mind, I had pushed it away and I had seen it. And the credit card debt was a few $1,000s, and then I had the car loan and student loan. But when you see the numbers, Heather, I noticed it was much easier, a lot less scary. You're like, okay, that's just where we are. And with money dates, one of my big rules is this is a judgment-free zone. You know, whether you're planning a wedding or, you know, you're talking about afterwards, you have to have times where it is judgment-free. It's all about listening. And you're like, okay, this is where we are. That's where it is. If we're X amount of debt, okay. But how do we get from where we are now to where we want to go? And it's, of course, not going to happen overnight, but that's the second day. Okay, where we are now. All right. So it'll probably take about maybe 2 years to get to where we want to go, you might say. Or it might take, you know, you'll find the speed and the tempo. But when you have those two pieces, then the money dates get a lot easier, because what it is, okay, well, we said this year we would be happy if we knocked out a credit card, you know, or if you're planning the wedding, you know, our goal is, we're going to pay for this wedding, and by the end of the year, we're going to have it all paid off if we haven't already before the wedding.
Right.
And you have that year goal, and then you're just checking in. That's what it is. It's, well, how's it going? And do we need to adjust things? Life happens. You know, cars break down. If you have kids, kids get sick. If you're an entrepreneur, clients flake out. It happens. And then you make an adjustment. But then it's, okay, well, what's next month looking like? So right now I'm actually on our summer break. That's how I kind of design my work around the kids. So mm-hmm. this is like a little summer break for us. So last Monday date, we sat down and said, okay, well, I like to eat out when we go on vacation. I already know that's going to be a higher number. So this month, the month before, we brown bagged it a few more times, you know, mm-hmm. to cover the cost. So that's what it is. It's a simple check-in. It's not as intimidating as I think some couples feel like it could be. And then once you get into the habit, honestly, the money part of it becomes like 5 minutes. The rest of it is genuinely a date. You're, mm-hmm. you're going out, you're eating, you're drinking, you know, however you want to do your date, you're having fun. And you're saying, this is where we are. This is what we need to fix. And when you automate it, it's so much easier.
Yeah, no, I think this is such a good concept. I know for my husband and I, he's definitely the one who, he's just such an optimistic entrepreneur. He's just like, we don't even need to talk about money. I'll just make more. And I'm like, that scares me. We need to have like a baseline plan, just, you know, a little bit of a structure mm-hmm. here. So instead of calling it budget anything, because he hates that, yes. I call them wealth meetings. And that way it's focused on the building and the mm-hmm. positive things that can come from us making the right decisions and then long-term building what towards what we want.
All right, guys, you've heard Jamie talk about this before. HoneyBook is her go-to system for running her wedding planning and coordination business. And if you haven't checked it out yet, this is a really special time because they're offering an insane deal for all of you who are, you know, suffering during this crazy year of 2020. So you can get started. You can use this time to get organized, dial in your systems of your business, and it's going to cost you $1 a month. They're seriously offering their software for $1 a month for the first 8 months if you sign up before August 12th. So if you want to get started with HoneyBook and you just haven't done it yet, take advantage of the special deal, $1 a month, again, all the way through the beginning of 2021. So hopefully by then we'll be seeing the industry move forward and you can take this time to really fine tune your systems and be ready for a amazing 2021. So if you want to get in on this deal, you're going to go to theunionpodcast.com/dollar because it's that $1 a month deal. So once again, theunionpodcast.com/dollar. Enjoy and let us know how the system works out for you. We think you're gonna love it.
So I know it's such a common cause of divorce, the finances. So do you have any specific suggestions for couples, maybe things like that, like figuring a way to bridge that gap, that communication gap, to make sure both partners can like jump on board with the money dates?
So I've seen one of the number one reasons there's a friction is that we all have different money personalities. Like you are definitely sound like a planner. You're more a realist, and being an entrepreneur, you've seen where bad stuff happens and you want to be prepared for it. And your husband's more optimistic, and that's not right or wrong. That's who you guys are. And so when you approach your finances, you want to reflect that. I found that for a lot of couples, doing a 50-20-30 budget is actually one of the best first budgets to work on as a couple. And it, in case you haven't heard of this, the 50-20-30 budget actually breaks it down to three different categories, your money. The first one, the 50%, is your essentials. You know, got to keep the lights on, got to have food, got to have a roof over your head. And then you have 20% is going towards saving or paying down debt, like your future stuff, building that wealth, like you mentioned. I love that idea, the wealth, you know, having that mentality. And then the 30 is what we kind of call like guilt-free spending, that the spending that's you, okay. You know. And what a lot of couples find is that this is a great kind of intro budget because the spender feels like they're not being restricted too much. And the saver feels like at least there's some progress being made. And naturally with marriage, of course, you guys, you know this. I mean, you've been married like 10 years. You're not the same person you were 10 years ago. You grow. And so your budget's going to change. Your spending plan, however you want to call it, is going to reflect that. But that's a really good starting point because you address, well, one, we definitely have to take care of the necessities. Two, we have to have something for the future, whether it's, you know, paying down debt or saving or investing more. We have that allocated. And then, yes, money is to a degree meant to be enjoyed. Like, what do you guys value? You know, are you saving up for that vacation that would come out of that bucket? You know, that 30%, that part of it would go into, you know, your vacation fund. Or if one of you is into tech, or I know with entrepreneurs, we're always investing in tech.
Oh, always, always. New cameras, new microphones, yeah. All the things.
Yes. So, you know, that would be allocated. So that is something that's been really helpful for couples. They ask me, like, is there a budget? There's no one size fits all, but that's a really good starting point for couples just to kind of get into the habit of merging their finances and kind of that mindset. And then you can always adjust the percentages there. But I think that's a great starting point. And then the second is, depending on your situation, this is something we did out of necessity when we first got married, is see if it's possible. If you want a different way to approach it, if you could live off of one income and that second income is towards those life goals that you feel are so important. And the reason we did it, I'd like to think we're like geniuses or
you might be. I think you might be.
It's been an incredible help. But at that time, my husband had his first post-grad job and I was a senior in college. So I had an internship, but I didn't know how long it was going to last. So out of necessity, we're like, let's keep our bills under his income and then paying down debt, saving, investing. That was my income. And after, you know, we got married and things worked out, we saw like, this is actually a good system for us. It kept our spending in check. And yet, we felt like no matter who earned more or less, we were both contributing to it. And then when I made the pivot to be an entrepreneur, we had the freedom because I knew like the bills temporarily could be covered under his.
Yeah.
And so like to make that leap. So those are kind of two different approaches. If you want to look at it from a spending plan, like do you need kind of a budget structure, look at that, the 50-20-30. But if you're looking at like a mindset and how you want to approach it where you both feel like you're contributing, living under one income and then having fun with that second has been a tremendous help for us personally.
Yeah, that makes sense. When you're thinking specifically with folks planning a wedding, now if they're doing that 50-20-30, would you say that 30% is where they should be pulling savings for the wedding or the 20% or how? Yeah. So the 30.
Yes, the 30%. I mean, because this is something that you're going to enjoy. This is that special day. But you want to keep that, you want to guard that 20% for either like paying down debt or, you know, you guys are saving for maybe down the line after the wedding, couple of years, maybe you want to buy a home. Mm-hmm. That money is kind of like your future self. Mm-hmm. That you're paying for. And then 30% is more like your current self, what you're enjoying within the next year or so.
Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense. Because I find that a lot of couples are concerned because maybe they're getting a little bit of money from family or no money from family. And they're thinking, okay, we have 18 months. How do I save up enough for this? And then that's where now there are things coming out like wedding loans and stuff like that, which I really encourage folks to come up with a plan that works for them to pay in cash if you can. And that way you're not buried in this debt that you have to work off afterwards. So what would you recommend for folks who are looking at the numbers and feeling really constricted?
Well, first of all, I want to say you have good advice about that. Trying to avoid debt as much as possible. I know sometimes it's just not realistic when vendors want like a certain time and you got to get it in for that deal, but you want to not go into debt. Because I actually got an email from LendingTree about this. Mm-hmm. They did a survey about newlyweds and they found that 76% of newlyweds who went into debt argued about money regarding the wedding with their partner versus 20% who avoided the debt. Yeah. And so it can be a significant strain on your wedding. So you really want to make sure that you're focused on, you know, talking about money and then also like keeping and minimizing the debt, especially for your wedding. Again, this is the launching off point. We want to make sure that you're in a great spot. So you mentioned like saving up for the wedding, make it like a bill and automate automatic transfers. If you guys have opened up a savings account for that, pay yourself first. Make sure that money goes in there. It's a lot less stressful. And also when you're planning a wedding, sometimes, you know, it's when you're in the middle of life, you're working, you're taking care of other responsibilities. Don't wait to the end of the month to put that towards the wedding fund. Make it a part of that. I also say like make it fun. Do like monthly money challenges, especially if you're saving up for a wedding. try to see, like, this month we're going to be doing maybe the lunch in challenge. Next month we're going to do $20 like frugal date night challenge. You kind of want to keep it fun, keep it interesting. And it's also getting you into the habit of, you know what, we can find ways to have a great time without spending enough, a lot of money. So we could use it for the wedding or whatever goals we have. I do want to say, with wedding planning, there's like this little star I have to talk about, which is when you have a generous offer from family that wants to contribute to the wedding. And I mean, they come from a good point, a good place out of their heart, but you want to make sure you have boundaries. And I know some couples feel like, oh, this is tacky to kind of talk about this, or this is very awkward. But I recently did an interview with a wedding planner, and she's done this for practically 10 years. And she was saying, this is a huge source of stress when you don't say upfront, if you're, say it's your mother-in-law that's contributing X amount of money, what does she expect out of that? She might say, oh, no, it's just for the wedding. Just say, yeah, what would you like to see in the wedding? Get her idea. Not that you're going to say yes or no. Or another approach is, if you don't feel comfortable talking with your mother-in-law, is talk with your partner and say, okay, what are our must-haves for the wedding? And then present it as a united front, like, thank you so much for the gift. This is what we're planning for the wedding. And then you lay out what you could afford with your budget and what you're planning on doing. Where do you see your gift fitting in? And then they might say, well, you know, you have a guest list of 75. I would love to help you have more people in. So then your guest list can grow, or it might change the wedding venue. So it's somewhere maybe that is a little more special or meaningful. But when you define, like, for you, what are the, well, we're not going to compromise on this because this is our wedding name. This is what's important to us. And then define what they're looking for. And typically, like, we had this with our mothers, is they wanted to help with the guest list. We had kept it small because we wanted to be debt-free. And they said, we would love to contribute. And I would say about, like, they had 10 or 15 people each that they really wanted to invite. Well, yeah, that was a no-brainer for us. Mm-hmm. And then we felt good because we had defined why they wanted to help. You know, they felt like, oh, well, your friends, you know, they would love to be here. Wouldn't you love to have them over? And then there were relatives that they wanted to see. So right, look for the win-win. And it doesn't have to be awkward. Just say, this is what we have in mind, and we'd love to get your input on that. And you don't have to. You have complete permission to say, no, we're not going to compromise on that. Or you can say, you know what? I think we can work something out. Mm-hmm. I think this is a huge source of stress that it doesn't have to be if yes, you're willing to have the talk.
Absolutely. I recommend this to all of my clients early on. I call it having the money talk with mm-hmm, all the relatives. And I even go a step further that if there are people who aren't necessarily contributing, but mm-hmm, maybe they're contributing in the way of throwing a bridal shower or something like that, something where it's a tangent, but they're not giving you a lump of cash, that mm-hmm, you still discuss their expectations,
yes,
and the strings attached to it. And additionally, if they are giving you cash, I really like couples to discuss the timing on the money, because mm-hmm, that's one thing that comes up and bubbles up into kind of a problem if you don't discuss it. Because say your in-laws say, oh, we'll give you $10,000 on the day of your wedding. Well, you're going to be paying all that $10,000 in advance. Like, your vendors, for the most part, are not getting paid the day of your wedding. The deposits mm-hmm, are done in advance. Normally, the final payments are in advance. So you will need the money earlier, and waiting until a week before and then being like, oh no, I need a check today, is not going to go over well. It's going to probably cause some stress. So I really recommend even getting your extended relatives who are contributing on this automated plan and setting up that yes, high yield savings where they can just drop money in for you and make it low stress for them, because they're human too. They may yeah, think they're giving you $10,000 and then they don't save it up on time or have some bad saving habits themselves. Yes. So let's cut them to the chase mm-hmm, and like set it up in a way where it can be mm-hmm, easy and low stress.
Yes. And you bring up a good point because we are human. It could be that your in-laws have all intentions to send in that money. Something comes up on their end and they totally forget. So if they can set up the schedule transfer, automation is such a huge help. I mean, even after the wedding, you can save so much time where once you decide, okay, this is what matters, this is what needs to get paid, and you set it up, that's it, Heather. You know, you do your check-ins, you make sure that everything, the vendors are getting paid, everything's getting taken care of, and then you have time to focus on the more important things, you know, those little details that make it special.
Definitely. And as you're going through your planning process, you guys, this is something I just have to add in here because it's so important. Read the fine print because so many of the vendors will give you bids and then there's like 20 different things in the fine print that make the price significantly more. So ask for full quotes with all those details. That way you can prepare. Because as you said, with even what debt you have, like just seeing the full numbers makes it possible for you to make a plan. And so having those surprises that sometimes can come up with this sort of event are the stressful thing. Like that's where if you're planning on spending 15 and suddenly it's 18, like that last 3,000 is going to really be a hard push. So getting that all laid out for you in advance. Did you have any other tips for couples planning on a budget or maybe some financial resources or tools you'd recommend?
Yeah. So the great thing is with the internet, there's so many different stories. And I think a lot of couples now are kind of sharing behind the scenes once it's over. I would recommend there's like the Budget Savvy Bride had a book, an organizer like that has like checklist worksheets. That podcast where I had interviewed the wedding planner, she has her own. And what's great about it is even if you're just planning a wedding, you get to see behind the scenes like what could go wrong or what typically happens so you guys can avoid some of the bigger expenses. Because like you mentioned, something comes up at the last minute, then it is a hard push. And her podcast was Weddings for Real. And then check out, I had a friend of mine, she got married in New York City and paid $5,000 for the wedding. So anytime, you know, you find these on the web, of course, your wedding's going to look different, but if you can get ideas from other, you know, brides that have set this up and have planned their special day, then it helps you to direct the money towards those details that matter to you. And then you can save money on the other things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Prioritizing the stuff that matters to you, just like in your life, you know, plan to go big on what you're going to enjoy. And if you're not a cake person, you're not into flowers, like minimize those. That's okay. There are so many resources. And in this event, we talk about a lot of them that you can tap into and save where it's not going to be painful for you to save. And that's what you want for your wedding is you want it to be on budget, but you don't want it to feel like you sacrificed. And so hopefully we can find that balance. Thank you so much for being here. Where can folks connect with you and learn more about, you know, all this couple money wisdom?
Oh, well, I had a lot of fun. If you want to find out more, please visit Couple Money. I have the podcast there. I have some videos. I have a marriage and money tip series for, you know, after the wedding, how do you guys actually merge your finances? And then my book, Jumpstart Your Marriage and Money, is available on Amazon and all the other bookstores.
Awesome. Thank you again. And it's been a pleasure.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag @UnionPodcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.